My best podcast.
We're now going to just go to the series as a whole. So the series as a whole, did you enjoy it?
Yes, I did. It wasn't perfect. I thought it was a bit patchy. But, like, more bad than good. And I'm not a grumpy watcher of the show. I'm generally quite pleased. I'm quite polyamorous about it. I just like that it's on and it's a pretty high standard. But I will admit that some bits haven't exactly underwhelmed, but they haven't quite lived up to expectations, I guess.
Well, the thing is, I think you noticed this on Twitter the other day. It's, for me, being of the age I'm at, any Doctor Who's great. And don't whinge about Doctor Who being on, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's frustrating that it's probably going to be next autumn when Series 8 comes, but hey, at least it's actually been confirmed, you know?
Yeah.
When you've lived through a hiatus and all that, it's like, Christ, you know, anything's great. And they're going, oh, the ratings, the Daily Mail's whinging on the ratings, and you're just like, oh, for God's sake, iPlayer. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, and it's kind of the whole landscape of how a television series is judged like that. And to be honest, I think the BBC are so financially up to their knees in it that it could be quite catastrophic if they just pulled it. There's too much invested in it.
Yeah, there is, and I think maybe Moffat and Matt Smith might leave soon, but we will regenerate in some way. The show always does, you know.
It will carry on with other people. And to be honest, if Matt Smith leaves, even if he regenerated at the end of the Christmas episode or the first one of next year, that's like, you know, it's the same length of time as Patrick Troughton, same length of time as Peter Davison. So, that's a good length of time to do it.
Well, he said that he's staying on for Series 8 in the sun. So, you know. Let's see if it happens. I mean, Moffat plays games all the time anyway, doesn't he? So.
Yeah. And he said he's staying on for Series 8. He didn't say he's all the way through the end and the next one. So, you know.
So in terms of the series, I thought the finale was the high point. I think the finale was brilliant.
Yeah, definitely.
And I love shouting at the telly when any sort of classic Doctor Who reference there, Colin Baker walking past and all that.
I loved the bit with them twocking the TARDIS with Hartnell.
Yes.
Some of the compositing, shall we say, if we're being like picky about technical aspects. Didn't look all that great, but I think you have to kind of make the leap back to wobbly cardboard sets.
That's fine,
and
you know.
Like yogurt pots. It's like, you know, there's precedent for things not always being like that, right? And actually, it worked. It worked, and you got what it was, so it was cool.
Oh yeah, completely. You know, and it's like, I just think that the Clara thing was such a vague theme, and everyone was kind of thinking it's not really a massive arc. I'm not quite sure what it is, but it now makes sense once you've watched the finale.
And I wonder if that was kind of like, maybe it's just because we're kind of used to, since the show came back, you're kind of used to having an arc. Yeah. So you kind of fit, like, you know, and perhaps as perhaps a bit of a stronger spine to the episodes. And maybe there was a sense that with all of these kind of one-offs, that we were missing a little bit. I mean, it was alluded to a little more gently than it has been in previous series, I think. And that was good. And I'm glad that they did it. But maybe there was a sense that, and it doesn't really kind of pay off until the finale, like you say.
Yeah, it's true. But also what I was going to say is, well, I think the series as a whole, you're right, was a bit patchy, you know. And I think there were certain elements where people have been particularly nasty about the show, I feel, this season more than others, this half season. And I was quite shocked by people, like, really anti-Moffat sort of stuff. And if you look at the series as a whole, I would say I enjoyed Bells. I thought Bells was fast, frantic, and it was fun. You know?
Yeah, it's fun, yeah.
And I enjoyed it, and that's it. And I thought Rings was a shower of shit.
It wasn't the greatest episode. It did have one of the best bits of Matt Smith acting. There was that, the speech, yeah. that was fantastic, but yeah, the rest of the episode was, that wasn't great.
I recorded it, you see, and I never ever forward Doctor Who, that's just not what I do, and I started forwarding the child when she started singing, and it came
that's a bad sign.
It is, you know, and that was, I mean, I was looking forward to Neil Cross's stuff, and
yeah.
At the end of the day, it's he's given things to write by Moffat and stuff, and they're collaborating on stuff, so it's not all his thing, you know.
He had two for this season, because he had a much better one in an episode in a bit of time.
I like the fact that he actually wrote Hyde before that, before Rings.
Yeah, and that which is much better.
Indeed, yeah. Cold War. Actually, no, before I talk about Cold War, I was asking you, right?
Yeah.
From your intelligence, right, to try and work this out, right? when did the... Because obviously we're thinking about using the finale as how it all works now. When did the Doctor first meet Clara then, if you use that sort of logic of her jumping in the fragmented stuff?
Like, as far as we're aware, then it'll be that moment when she advised him to take the other TARDIS in his timeline.
Ah, right.
I guess, unless there are like moments that we're not party to. And actually it kind of leads into another question about Hartnell. Yeah. It's like, was he a wee lad? And then did he just age and become William Hartnell and start regenerating after that? Because we could take it on faith that he's like the first Doctor.
Hmm. That's who John Hurt is, not
it? It's like Doctor 0.5. It's like he's 8, and then he turns into John Hurt for 3 years, does terrible things, because he's a petulant child. Then he goes back to being a kid.
It does make your head hurt when you start thinking about stuff like this.
That's why it doesn't really pay to, like, pay it too much serious thought. Just enjoy the slight sensation of your head being a bit twisted, I think.
Because if you think about it, Matt Smith first met Clara if we like to call Clara in this instance, when she was a Dalek.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's obviously the first time I'm just trying to think.
I think that must be it, because we have to, like, I think the only timeline that is kind of even remotely constant is the Doctor's, so that's the one we have to kind of take as our anchor, I guess.
Yeah.
So we have to go back the first time that character would have met him. It would have been in his first incarnation when he was about to Robert TARDIS.
It does make my head hurt slightly, but before she jumped in and fragmented, had she ever met the Doctor then?
I don't think so. Maybe it's a bit hand wavy. I think what we saw in the finale with her leaping into the timeline was kind of the beginning of her being in his, it's not the beginning, it's kind of like the first third, shall we say, and the rest of it has been her meeting him in her various splintered cells throughout his lives.
Because there has been times her character has been slightly different. Especially in the Cybermen one.
Yeah.
She's very authoritative and very kind of fine with everything, you know, very like, yeah,
control. That was a bit of an odd one, and I think that she seemed more like Amy Pond, and I wonder if that episode had been written for Pond.
I've heard someone else say that as well. It just made you wonder, because he originally wrote it apparently a bit ago, and then it got changed to be, she was supposed to be the Victorian governess in it.
Yeah.
And then it obviously got modified again. So, it wouldn't surprise us. Like,
I mean, and then they shift things around all the time. It's like the Mark Gatiss Dalek one was originally written for, in Matt Smith's first season, was originally written for Tennant. And there are bits of that that seem like they, you know, they would be more that thing that 10 would do than 11 would, even though we were only a couple of episodes in and maybe don't have that sort of as strong a sense. But it kind of makes sense they would have moved it around.
And Cold War, I think that was again another high point. That was brilliant. Proper classic Doctor Who.
And not afraid to kind of play about with the Ice Warriors. And that's kind of what's been actually been really good about this last run, is really not been afraid to kind of grab bits of the heritage of the show and twist it and do slightly different things, rather than just kind of treat it, you know, with an undue reverence and not mess about with stuff.
I kind of wish they hadn't shown as much out of the suit thing, you know, because when the way it was realised wasn't amazing, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's little, slightly cheap CG. It won't be the first time that that's reared its head in this run, but it's, again, you have to kind of cast your mind back to things made of yoghurt pots and rubber.
I like the whole kind of, like, it almost reminded me a bit of X-Files when it was in the dark and stuff, and it was that kind of, like, tomb sort of thing. That was very good, and I liked, the 80s synth pop obsessive. Who was it played by?
It was David Warner, the genius Sir Lord David Warner.
I thought he seemed to be an odd character in the sense of, I felt like he was holding back, like he actually, it seemed like he was a bit out of place, like he knew something of the future and stuff. I don't know, he was talking though.
Yeah.
I got the impression that he was kind of a bit like, he knew a lot more than he was letting on about the future and stuff.
Slightly kind of a little bit, I think you kind of go through it, kind of think, oh, yeah, they're a Time Lord, aren't they? It's going to turn out they're a Time Lord. Let's go, wait.
It's the Rani, man.
Everybody takes a drink.
Everyone was like so worried about Clara being the Rani. It's like, oh, God, Pip and Jane Baker, they'll be, we want to write that.
that's the standard response. It's like, if a song was going to be the Rani was going to be back played by Zoe Lucker for Footballers' Wives, well, they should probably be able to do it. Gillian Anderson was going to play the Rani, supposedly. Jesus Christ. Mondes.
Hyde, I enjoyed it up to a point. I've got to be honest with you, I enjoyed it. Because it's more we're going to be talking about in the next bit about horror and all that.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that in terms of horror, but I felt they went a little bit, what the hell is happening, when they went to that kind of alternative world type thing.
It was an interesting ending for the episode, and it maybe wasn't entirely like satisfying, but it was, I kind of quite like that it felt like an ending that, well, I haven't really seen in Doctor Who before, that bit where it wasn't completely resolved and the TARDIS dissolves and everything goes on. It's like, it's actually, there's a little bit that happens after that, which I quite like, but I do kind of see what you mean. But I mean, like, before that was like sort of proper kind of Nigel Neal, the stone tape kind of stuff.
Yeah, I felt very sorry for that space woman who turned up and she had about one line in it, you know, and she turned up, she just stood there looking awkward.
After all that flailing about between dimensions, she gets, one line. I can't remember what it was. I'm just gonna in my head, just gonna say that she was asking for a pepperami or something, but I don't know.
That would be more exciting, I think.
If that was just because she wanted a kind of a meat snack.
In terms of the TARDIS episode, we'll call it, Journey Center of the TARDIS, I enjoyed it. It was lovely to see parts of TARDIS I haven't seen for a long, long time. And yes, a lot of people have been criticising the three brothers as being pretty bad actors, and I would go along with that. And the characters, I don't think, were very rounded either, really.
I'd assume most possibly they weren't given a great deal to kind of work with. But no. I didn't find them bad, really. It's kind of just not entirely. That's the thing. It's kind of run through a lot of this series. It's not necessarily bad, but not quite as satisfying as you would like. But yeah, the overt presence of a literal reset button, which is, I can't decide whether that's kind of like just sort of cheeky or quite infuriating. But at least it's like open and acknowledged.
That's it. But in terms of like looking around and seeing the, you know, the swimming pool from a distance, that's fine, you know, from a distance. The Time War book was a little bit cringy. I thought it was a bit like, this, who wrote this? Do you mean Rudyard Kipling? You know, it's ridiculous. It was a bit like the Time War written by the Doctor, you know, by me.
Was it a liquid encyclopedia?
Yeah, that wasn't very Doctor Who. I don't know. I suppose in some ways it's kind of a nod to the McGann movie with the kind of the liquidy master.
It's actually a lot of that. A lot of the current TARDIS set seems a bit McGann. Between like, kind of 80s to 90s kind of thing. Bit steampunk, but not as steampunk as previous. But yeah, I liked what they started doing with this season, though, is perhaps maybe they haven't had as much to spend on the creature effects, but they have done a lot to try and obscure them, which I just enjoy a bit more. This is a bit more mystery rather than just turn around and there's a man in a rubber suit. At least kind of, you know, they had some interesting shots on that with it, which I liked.
I think the directors have been good this year. I think they've actually been making some bold choices, and it was nicely shot, the TARDIS one especially.
Yeah, definitely.
But in terms of the next one was obviously Crimson Horror.
Yeah, no, I think we might differ on this quite widely.
Oh, really? I'm intrigued by this. I wouldn't say it's my favourite ever, but I enjoyed it. But I didn't really enjoy the shitty monster creature at the end.
The little prawn slitheen thing. That's cool, because I thought you liked it less than it actually turns out you do. Because I really, not that effect, but overall the episode, I loved it. That's been one of my favourites for a long time. It's mostly down to, it's like Diana Rigg. I was talking with my wife about this the other day. Basically, she's kind of like, she's in everything that's awesome at the moment, and she's absolutely mopping the floor with people, because she's brilliant in Game of Thrones as well. And she's just absolutely bloody stellar. Her daughter Rachel Sterling was brilliant. I loved Morse Drax and Jenny and Vastra. I'm a sucker for a Victorian episode, it has to be said. And I liked the comedy. I enjoyed it. It's a bit of a tightrope comedy in Doctor Who, isn't it? Like, because you either get good or you get Hale and Pace selling cat food. But I thought the Crimson Horror was really, really satisfying. Had some brilliant dialogue and some fantastic performances, particularly from Diana Rigg and her wee lass.
What did you think about the bizarre moment where the doctor smooches a kung fu lesbian? It was a bit odd, wasn't it?
Yeah, but that's the kind of lovely moment it gets thrown up in these kind of picaresque episodes.
She slapped him. You know, he deserved it.
Well, absolutely. But it's another fine example of the 11th Doctor being kind of pretty. He's even rubbish with his own wife. But he's just not like 10 was very cool and, you know, a bit of a romantic hero, and 11 is like he's not very good at that sort of thing, is he? In an endearing sort of way. But,
Indeed, yeah. He's a bumbling fool. You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. The next one I think seems divided fandom. I've been listening to a few podcasts about this, and some people have actually like said it is absolutely rubbish and really hated it, and some people really like it. So where do you come down on the outside men episode then?
I come down in an annoyingly moderate position. Mm. I will freely admit I love the Doctor's wife. That's one of my favourite episodes, probably out of the whole run. It's one of my favourite episodes. I guess it, because of the writer, it comes with a certain way of expectation that wasn't really fulfilled. I think actually we can boil it down to annoying kid actors. They haven't been as good, like classically since 2005. They've mostly had really good like child actors. And they seem to have gone to a different stage school, or they were shit that year, because they haven't really been very good. Not that I want to like be tight to like a 12-year-old kid, but they haven't been very good. There's that, and maybe there's a sense that the bits where Matt Smith's having a fight with himself could have been a bit darker and more twisted. But then again, you kind of have to remember this is like Doctor Who is going out on a tea time. It's not like Carnival or a David Lynch movie or something, you know.
It felt a little bit overlong, that bit, I felt. I don't know why, just for me, it just kind of felt a little bit like it dragged on a bit.
Maybe they sort of felt like, oh, this is good. Well, this is an acting bit. This is an acting bit.
Did you hear that Matt Smith had a bit of a tiz on, a bit of an acting fit, like a lovey fit on set because of that scene? Apparently he wasn't very happy with it.
Really?
Yeah, apparently, because he doesn't apparently have any little kind of hissy fits, but apparently he had a hissy fit because he had so much dialogue.
Yeah.
So much to do in that, because he was kind of guiding the episode, wasn't he? So,
yeah, he was carrying it pretty much on his shoulders. Great, but fair play, I suppose.
Oh, it's bound to happen from time to time.
If he only has one, and if it's during a really difficult bit, then, you know, fair play. It's not like he's Val Kilmer.
people were quite scathing about it, because she was just basically whinging all the time about foot and mobile and stuff.
Yeah, like that's the thing. It felt like sort of like a flat pack Identikit teenage girl, like sarcastic, grumpy, wants a phone, and supposedly that's teenagers.
They were only there because the Sidemen, for some random reason, wanted kids or something.
Yeah, I was going to Operation U-Tree there.
It was a bit random. But what did you think of the Sidemen generally then? Did you enjoy them?
Yeah, liked it. Like the Cybermites. I like how they were realised. There's the kind of weird Matrixy running bit with super speedy time stuff, which is kind of okay. Well, I can see why you do that. It's a tough brief. Take a very familiar foe and re-imbue them with horror and mystery.
Yeah.
And I mean, overall, I liked it. But yeah, there's a couple of bits where I like a bit. But I aesthetically, I liked I like the redo, and I like the reintroduction of the tears on the eyes.
Mm-hmm. I thought when they only ran the once, I thought, is that for a particular reason? Is it budgetary, or they just like at the moment where they suddenly reboot themselves, and there's suddenly one person went, "I can run really fast," and they're like, "Oh, you've used up all the energy, you dick! Oh no, the rest of us are screwed now, and we're going to have to just upgrade all the time." But no, I think it was good in the fact that they actually had to blow up the planet.
Yeah,
and then obviously saw a little stray. I wasn't quite sure if it was a capsule or something coming away. Or Cybermite, whatever. So
I thought it
still
was.
Existent.
I thought it was a little bit off the side of his face.
Right, something existed anyway.
So. Yeah, and actually, I spoke. Yeah, this the bit with who was Jason Watkins, who was Herrick in Being Human, and I think it was the bit off the side of his face that made him look like the cutest of Borg.
Right.
Yeah.
People have been talking about the Borg, actually, in terms of Cybermen. I don't really watch Star Trek, so I don't really know that much.
I have a kind of back of the book jacket knowledge of it. I haven't really watched a huge amount of it, but they are very similar. The Borg are kind of like a hive. The Borg are kind of midway between the Daleks and the Cybermen. They're like a hive. Somebody's going to correct me on this, but hey ho. They're kind of like they have the kind of the hive mentality of the Daleks, but they're kind of like cyborgs, more in the mold of the Cybermen, because like Daleks are kind of made from mutated Khaleds, not humans, they're humanoids.
Nice,
right. So and they just go around and they just assimilate people and turn them into. There was one episode where Picard was turned into a Borg. And then he was, I don't know if he had penicillin or something, he was cured. They got a screwdriver or something like that. I haven't actually seen it, I'm just aware of it.
Right.
But yeah, so this is, I could be just styling it here a bit. But it's the same theme, but I guess that's a science fiction theme generally about the border between humans and machines and what happens once you cross that border.
So in terms of the series as a whole, it's been pretty good.
You know? It has been. And like you say, it's not like it's disappeared off for several years. It's like it's been a little bit longer. My only complaint really is I could definitely have seen Hyde in the autumn. I could have seen the finale in the autumn. So maybe if they'd actually just had the run of 13 last year over the winter.
Yeah.
That would have been, I mean, just because it was like bright sunshine in a couple of them, and it's just like, this would have been so much better in the dark.
Now we go to promotion corner.
Okay, then.
So what do you have to haul?
I'm gonna haul our current mutual project. Well, actually, there's two things I'm going to haul. The Bearcast is still going on. That's www.bearcast.co.uk. That's some bears talking jolly comedy, and yourself's on there as well.
Hey.
And I'm 1571, which is just a glimpse into the world's weirdest set of voicemails, which you are also on, which you can find at all letters and all one word, 1571.tumblr.com, or have a dig about on iTunes or something like that. They're only 6 minutes. It's not going to take you a lot of time. I'm quite proud of what we've done with it, actually.
It does sound good, and it doesn't outstay its welcome. It's bum bum, and you're like, oh, one more.
Yeah,
it's good.
It's basically, but there's only two at the moment. There's a third on the way, and I'm not going to say anything more about the sneaky one. So we're going to do a series of six. So we've got like another four at least coming. please listen, or I may cry.
No other kind of other website-y stuff?
Oh, yeah, there's my blog thing. It's the DannyDavies.co.uk. That's sporadically updated. Well, to be honest, I'm usually on Twitter. It's at DannyDavies23. And I'm usually on there attempting humour ungracefully.
Mondays podcast.